My guest today is Laura Martin. We're going to start by listening to a track off of her brand new EP, and then we're going to get into some interview and some live stuff. In the meantime, check out myspace.com/Laura Martin Music. Stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Take a deep breath in. The long winter's finally over. Open up your eyes, rested from a long slumber.
I think it's actually a bit hot. I don't know if it's perfect
It's a little warm.
Quite so much. But that's a lovely song.
Oh, thank you so much.
My guest is Laura Martin. Laura, thanks for coming in on this sweltering Wednesday.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, John.
So just real quick, tell me about this EP that you just handed me. Is this something that you sell at your shows?
Yeah. It's a new EP to follow up the last EP. This one's called Doing It for Joey.
Do you have to say it with the accent?
You
to
have
really
to say
it
with the accent. It's a requirement. The Doing It for Joey EP, I did it recently with some friends. Steve Phillips produced, and I took it to Brandon Toe to mix, and we did a couple backing vocals as well, and pieced it together, man. It was a bit of a trial, but I got it done, so
and
that's good.
Your last EP was live sessions.
Correct.
So that was all sort of recorded in one go then,
yes,
huh?
Yes. Some more like attempts than others, but certainly from beginning to end, every song on it is a solid take. So that was really fun. I did that back in 2006, I think, maybe 2005. Yeah.
So is that kind of a challenge for you to now record something in the studio and do it over and over and get that perfect track down?
I've recorded a lot of demos since I've been in LA. I have an entire box full of EPs that I never used. Mm. So I have a lot of recording experience. I just haven't necessarily been pleased enough to put any of them out. It's my trial to like, I think it takes a long time to really establish where you want to go with your music. You know, traditionally most producers want to put me in a very mainstream rock type mm-hmm. setting with your basic drums, bass, and electric guitar. And I think that finally, once and for all, I've determined that that's not necessarily where I want to go. And that's why I have a box full of CDs. I think I need to do something, branch out a little bit. So, you know, now I'm looking for other instrumentation, such as strings, cello in particular. And
nice. I love strings.
Yeah, me too.
Was that that sort of rock vibe that people were trying to place you in? What was it about that you didn't feel... didn't connect with?
I don't know. It just seemed like something always got lost in the music. And while I love rock and roll, it's not necessarily what I listen to on an everyday basis. And plus it kind of can tend to put songs that can lean, my songs can lean towards mainstream, kind of shoves them right in that box. They easily mm-hmm. are placed in that box. And that's not the stuff I listen to. You know, that's not the stuff that, you know, I love. And therefore, like, unless I love what I've made, I'm probably not going to put it out for anyone else.
Right. You have to like it in order
absolutely.
To
and
expect
that's,
your
that's
audience
becoming
to
the challenge.
It.
I'm starting to wonder, Jesus, am I ever going to? But I think I'm on the right track now. I think after I've spent thousands of dollars on wasted EPs that I think I'll figure this one out.
Good.
Yeah.
I wonder about that sometimes when you hear music on, particularly on corporate radio, where it's like, you think, does the band who made this, you think they like it? Because I don't get it.
I don't know a lot of people that listen to their own stuff, mm-hmm. you know? And when you're in a studio, it's exciting and you're always like, yeah, this is awesome. And then you take it home and you're like, oh man, not again.
Well, you're your own worst critic,
absolutely,
of course.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But at the end of the day, you have to say, you know what, I put together a really good song and I want to share this with
absolutely.
People.
And I think that's kind of what holds me back as well, is like when you have that one song that you may hear in a certain way and you don't see eye to eye with a producer perhaps. And you know, I'm certainly not skilled enough to produce my own stuff yet. But you really want what's best for the song. And if you put it out before you have what's best for the song, I just feel, you know, I feel bad for the song. It's my creation and I want
it
to be the best to ability. So
yeah. Once you send it out there too, you can't take it back.
Absolutely.
And erase it from the musical memory.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, let's jump into a live song.
Okay.
And go from there. What would you like to play for us first?
I think I will play a song called Velvet Kisses. It's relatively new.
Okay. Whenever you're ready. My guest is Laura Martin.
Thank you. Kiss me swift, but kiss me softly. Hold my face in your hands. You could try to understand me, but you'd be the only man. Velvet kisses wake me up, ooh, from the string you cannot trust. You'll still hear my sleepy eyes. Oh, my heart belongs to you. My heart belongs. Breathe me in and breathe me out.
belongs to you. Velvet kisses wake me up. Ooh, from a stream you cannot trust. You'll still hear my sleepy eyes. Oh, my heart belongs. Oh, my heart belongs to you. Velvet kisses wake me up.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Laura Martin. Laura, what came for you first, singing or playing guitar?
Definitely singing. I was singing from a very early age. We had a very musical family,
and
a family band, choir.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you have a theater background as well?
A bit. Not a lot. High school, I've actually done one or two things out here in L.A., but... It definitely incorporated my singing voice because I project. So
yeah, well,
that works.
There seems to be a theatrical quality to your voice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, no, I sang from an early age. I didn't pick up the guitar until my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I picked up the guitar and strummed around a little bit. My dad had a music store, and you know, I was encouraged to play piano, and I played tuba and band and stuff. But I didn't really crack down on guitar until I was like 22, 23.
Did it just come naturally to you?
Well, relatively speaking, I taught myself. And so, you know, as much as I feel like I could have gotten better faster, I definitely feel like I incorporated my own style. You know, I play kind of hard and I don't play, you know, someone told me once that I play weird. So I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I think it's just a bit of atypical rhythms and things like that as far as strumming patterns go. So,
well, like you mentioned growing up in a musical family and doing choir and things like that. What was sort of the point for you where you started listening to like a different kind of music and started thinking, you know what, I'm going to make my own music and it's going to be more like this or more like that? And you started feeling influenced by the outside music world.
Well, I sang in bands, like when I was 16, I joined a cover band, you know, and that was easy. You get paid and stuff. But it wasn't until I moved from Nebraska, started playing guitar. I'd been in a couple bands in Arizona. I lived in Phoenix after I left Nebraska. And we wrote our own stuff, but I was kind of writing with someone else. We were co-writing all our things. And I was in two different bands like that. And when a band breaks up, the songs are gone. You know, you can't really use them again because to whom do they belong and things like that. So I decided at that point, you know what, I'm gonna work on this guitar a little bit and start writing my own stuff. And plus, when you're in your early 20s, I think you have a lot to say. And I think for me, it was a lot of getting a lot of stuff off my chest. Mm-hmm. You know?
So it felt good to start writing these songs and know that they were just yours.
Absolutely, you know. You call your own rehearsal time and you call your own shots. And at the end of the day, there's no one to, you know, blame for anything that goes wrong but yourself. You know, it's a kind of empowering kind of thing to do.
Now you already had some experience writing music, but, you know, writing on your own is a much different experience. Was it something, what about the art of writing a song, the actual skill of writing? Was it something you had to work on, develop?
I think that you continue to work on and develop songwriting, you know, and playing instrumentation as well. Like, I hope that by the time I'm 50, I'm like a killer guitar player and a really unbelievable songwriter. It happened rather organically. I feel like it's a blessing to be able to, you know, anyone that creates stuff, a writer, a painter, or whatever, and without any particular rhyme or reason, you sit down with the intention of writing something, and something happens, something comes out, mm-hmm. if you're lucky, you know, and it tends to happen. And while it's yours and it's your words and your experiences, sometimes they don't even apply until later on, or you don't realize what they're really about until, like, wow, this song is suddenly, like, slipping in my life right now, and it makes sense, you know, in a way that it didn't before. And it takes away a little bit of the... It's just a magical thing. It's like it comes from someplace else, and I don't know where.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, you know, like if you listen to somebody else's song, it can have that effect on you. You know, you think the song is almost written for you because
absolutely.
Of how it applies to your life.
Yeah.
But you're saying it also can happen with a song that you wrote. You may not even fully understand it until later.
Absolutely, you know, because I tend to, like, take certain ideas and, you know, just run with them. And they can apply at the very moment, but the songs that come really fast, you're like, what is that? Where'd that come from? You know, and it works, and you like it, but it doesn't necessarily make any sense to you until later on.
Those are the best songs that they just kind of write themselves,
yeah.
and just
comes
absolutely. Out of
you. Yeah, the 15-minute song, you know.
So nice.
That's a gift. That's awesome.
You mentioned you have you've recorded a lot of demos, and do you also write a lot of songs, and then sort of, with the exception of the songs that you write out and finish, you know, in 15 minutes, do you tend to write a lot of songs and then sort of pare it down to which ones you're really going to work on and complete, or do you complete everything you start?
I go through phases, I guess, in writing in particular. I have certain songs that I've been carrying around with me for years, and they're just bits and pieces and parts that, like, every now and again, if I'm feeling stuck or whatever, I'll call to them and see if they're ready, and sometimes they aren't, sometimes they aren't. Mm. At this point, I don't record very frequently. I feel like if I get a song idea and I can't remember it the next time I sit down, then it probably wasn't very good.
It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, but, you know, I read an interview or something once, and they said that they wrote Satisfaction, like, in a coma practically, and woke up the next day and listened to it being played back, and they're like, fuck yeah, that rocks. So, it's kind of important, I think, for me to start, you know, recording my own ideas, and mm-hmm. and plus that'll give me the legs that I hopefully will grow to be my own producer. So
nice. Well, let's listen to another track from this EP that you brought in. What should we play?
Let's play Hanged Woman's Noose.
Do we know which track that is?
That's two.
Okay. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Laura Martin. Check out myspace.com/Laura Martin Music. We'll be right back.
I'll wear that dress, you know the one. You like to take off the night you told me how you love. Diamond in the rough. What will you do when they all start to know the truth? When this small stone is cleaned and new and shines for all the world to see. She's in a cage now. She's dying to get out. One false move, boy, and she'll slip right past you. All's fair in loving, and what's beautiful to you might be a hanged woman's noose. Might be a hanged woman's noose. That smile, the one you taught, my eager lips, the way you stole my fragile heart and did the best you could with it. What else could you do, you being you, me being me? I thought eventually you'd come to love that jewel underneath. She's in a cage now. She's dying to get out. One false move, boy, and she'll slip right past you. All's fair in loving, and what's beautiful to you might be a hanged woman's noose. Might be a hanged woman's news, blowing in the wind. She's in a cage now. She's dying to get out. One false move, boy, and she'll slip right past you. Oh, sparing loving and what's beautiful to you might be a hanged woman's news. Might be a hanged woman's news. Blowing in the wind.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Laura Martin. I'm going to torture her by turning the fan back off in this tiny room so you can hear us. Now, you mentioned earlier that you're, you had a lot to write about when you started writing. So these songs, most of your songs, very personal? Are there certain themes that you come back to a lot?
Yeah, they're definitely very personal. Yeah, there are certain themes I come back to a lot, like broken hearts and things like that. And I think I realized recently at a certain point, just as I said, like a song would start to make sense in your life, I thought, what if I started writing songs about being happy? You know, what if I started writing, if somehow there's this magical correlation between what you write becoming part of your life, how about I start writing songs about being super happy and love.
Rich.
And yeah. I haven't gotten that one yet. That's a good one. I'll go home today and pen that one out.
Write one for me.
I will. About us in a Hollywood mansion or something. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, definitely I've changed a little bit. And I've also started to embrace my roots a little bit more. I think when I did start out, I was definitely more aggressive and singing a lot louder. Not that I don't sing loud still, but like there was a scream quality to it and a rage quality to it that I didn't like the way I was coming across. I didn't understand that if you put anger out there, you know, that's what people are going to perceive of you. Mm. You know what I mean? And that's not me. It was just what I had to get off my chest.
You're just writing these angry songs.
Right, right. And so I've been working on trying to make it a little more happy and more accessible and be a little bit more representative of like how I want my life to be and how I perceive the world around me and how I want my friends and everyone else to feel good and happy and not. So.
And do you like to do this in terms of by telling stories or being more abstract and metaphorical?
I don't really do anything intentionally, and sometimes I feel like my language can be a little bit plain, but I definitely have certain songs that I think are a little bit more lyrical or poetic than others. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, like I said, they're still like I consider gifts to me, and so I don't like shoot anything, or I try not to shoot too much down when it comes out. So
let's do another live song. What would you like to play?
I'll do a song called So Wonderful.
My guest is Laura Martin. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Ooh. Another year has passed me by. Another chance to get it right and navigate this life. Up ahead, I sense this light, a vault to conjure firelight in the darkness. Yeah, you came like a truck, and you struck me down. I was standing there all by myself, and the lights came on, shining. So much fun. struck me down. I was standing there all by myself when the lights came on, shining bright on us. Tell me who knew life could be so much fun, so much fun if they meant my life. A big electrical storm, and I'm still so fucked up, but I feel so
that was beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're listening to IsGood on KillRadio.org. My guest is Laura Martin. Let's talk about playing live for a bit. Describe for me, if you can, sort of the first time outside of being in the band and sort of having that safety net of being up there and saying, I'm Laura Martin and this is what I do.
Oh, man. It was terrifying. I was in a coffee house in Tempe, Arizona, and I had I hadn't been playing that long. I had a couple songs, you know. I mean, actually, probably had a full set worth of songs. So it was time to wet my feet, and it was time to, like, get that terrifying, horrifying feeling of, like, messing up, which I had this Ovation guitar with a rounded back, and there was a straight stand similar to this one, but I'm better now. And I kept, like, hitting the strings against the straight stand.
Oh, hitting the mic stand with your guitar.
Like, every few seconds, and only for like one song, but definitely it was terrifying and horrendous, even for someone. I mean, I'd been on stage a lot, but to finally do my own thing was it was terrifying. I don't think it was ever that bad again. I think that really it's shocked me into preparedness. I think.
Now, you've played at a lot of different kinds of venues for bigger crowds, rock crowds, and also the small cafe circuit.
Definitely.
Do you prefer one over the other?
There's pros and cons about both. I love a small, intimate setting like Cranes. We were talking about that earlier. It's fantastic. But there's something about that energy that you get before you, like, follow this major rock band, say, at the Viper Room or something, and it's just you and a guitar, and it's up to you to at least, you know, it's always my goal to, like, for one song, everyone's going to stop talking and just pay attention. And I've had pretty good luck where at least for, you know, a song, I can grab everybody and we can take a little ride together. And that's I love that challenge. It's terrifying, but I love that challenge. So
yeah, that's a serious challenge, especially for a solo artist in LA.
And a girl.
And a lot of people, you know, when they go out in LA, they're usually going to see one act. They don't stay for the whole show.
Totally.
And then, so if you're not the person that they necessarily came for, you're going to hear a lot of clinking of beer glasses.
Oh, totally. And conversations.
Yeah.
Phone conversations.
And do you just play through that, you know, or do you try to change up your performance to get their attention somehow?
I guess it's changed over the years. Like I said, I used to be loud. So it was my approach to, like, be as loud as possible and say, hey, I'm over here. And I've realized that's not the best approach. The best approach is to be really, like, riveting and soft and quiet. And if they're going to listen, they'll listen. And then once you kind of get the room settled down a little bit, then you can go ahead and feel free to scream.
And then that guy on the cell phone really looks like a jerk.
Totally. It actually encourages people to soften up. If you're soft, who would have thunk?
Nice. Do you have any shows coming up in the near future?
Yes, I'm playing September 12th at Crane's Hollywood Tavern. I think I go on around 9 there. And then September 23rd at Hotel Cafe. So
cool.
That's Sunday night, I think, at Hotel Cafe. So I got the coveted 7 p.m. slot.
Nice.
So, yeah. Come on up for that one.
Well, let's listen to another track from the EP, and don't forget to remind us again at the end of the show about your upcoming gigs. What track should we play?
Track 1.
All right.
One Step Closer.
Here's some more Laura Martin for you on IsGood, killradio.org.
When my day comes, every day
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Laura Martin. So that song was pretty rocking. That's sort of your little bit of your older roots. So you haven't lost that.
I haven't lost
that. Is there that fear, I mean, of sort of being like just stereotyped? You know, a lot of times you see a girl on a guitar and it's, oh, this is chick folk or whatever they call it. And do you want to kind of avoid falling into that trap of being a feminist artist or
I mean, I have tattoos and stuff and definitely but you know, people's perceptions are up to them. You know, it's really kind of about what I put out there. And I do have a rock side to me, and there's no doubt about that. And I have a folk side to me coming from Nebraska, and a country side to me coming from Nebraska. And I guess if people wanna like pigeonhole anyone into whatever, they can. It's just, you know, and maybe at a certain point I'll be able to do the same, but I find that I like my different faces, and I I'm finding that I can embrace them all at different points.
So would you say that when you think about the future of your music, something that you would want to avoid would be just sliding into one genre or one part of yourself? I mean, is that important to you to sort of keep...
I don't think my title would be important to me. I just want to make good music, and I want to be a good person, you know? So that's really all that really kind of matters.
I've heard of people like you. Well, on that note, why don't we do another song?
Okay, this one's not so nice, but...
What's it called?
It's called Wrecking Ball.
All right, whenever you're ready.
And it's definitely a little more rock, so...
Everything I thought I knew was wrong. Everything I loved about you is gone. All the words out your mouth are lies. Crossing the driveway and the radio's playing, and your heart may be empty, but the tank is full. You treat me like a plaything. You made me feel two feet tall. Well,
Wow. That was awesome.
Oh, thanks, John.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. That's, wow, that was really a powerful performance. That was fantastic.
Thank you so much. There's really no other way to do that song.
Yeah, I guess there couldn't be.
Yeah.
When you perform live, do you usually do it solo, or do you have people with you performing as well?
I've been playing solo for quite some time. I think that I'd like to start implementing the band aspects of it, but I'm glad I waited because I would have gotten bass, drums, and electric guitar.
Right.
So I think definitely I'm in the next few months, and hopefully maybe at the Hotel Cafe grab at least one or two to start with one, mm-hmm. keep adding more until I find the right combination.
And then do you see it sort of being... just, you know, your act with some people that sometimes play with you, or is it going to be Laura Martin and her band?
I would kind of hope to find some relationships that would stand some time. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be nice. But at the same time, I know that people are busy, and particularly string players and the kind of people I'm looking for might have lots of projects. So I'm just going to play it by ear, see what happens. I'm kind of putting it out there to find some peeps, you know, but we'll see what happens.
Tell me some more about things you'd like to do with your music. Like, I know, for example, some of your music has been used on television and in other kinds of projects. Is that something, licensing, things like that, something that you're interested in?
Yes, absolutely. That's a lot of fun. I've done some session work. Like, I did a session for Shrek, the third, and that's really fun to just go in, you know, and take the sheet music and sing this. That part was somewhat operatic, and it's challenge, it's fun, it's a great way to make money, John. And and also, if some friends have enlisted me on various projects to write songs specifically for their project. I've done a couple independent films that way. I just recorded a song for a friend of mine that's making an animated short. They gave me the lyrics. It's a great, hilarious song about a cat named Scratches. And I wrote the melody and went and recorded that. And it's a lot of fun. That kind of stuff I definitely want to do, you know, on the side, aside from, you know, being a songwriter and stuff. I definitely want to make a full-length record. I have some. Again, they've never been released, mm-hmm. but I'm working on one at the moment, and I really hope to have like a really great full-length record to tote around. So
for now, when you're doing your live shows, you're just going to promote the EP and then see where that goes and then develop the full-length
Absolutely. Well, I started the full-length a while back, mm-hmm. and it's taking a little bit of time. It's a little ways up north. And it's with a lot of busy people, and plus it's, I think there's some business and things being tied up with the project itself. And I ran out of my last EP, which is why I recorded Doing It for Joey, just to have something to you know, put out there. In LA, you really need a product, you know. It's like being an actor without a headshot.
Right.
You really need to have something. And I wasn't crazy about repressing my other EP that I got the live session. So I just kind of spent all my money on another EP.
And this is all DIY, huh? I mean, there's no label pushing this or anything
not.
Like that.
Absolutely.
You put this all together yourself, distribute
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah.
Do you want to keep it that way in sense? I mean, I'm sure you'd appreciate the help.
But I like help, yes.
But I mean, in sense of like, you know, maintaining creative control and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of independent labels out there. I mean, I love the indie scene right now. There's a lot going on. And these are the people behind the scenes are musicians themselves and, mm-hmm. and know what it's all about. And I'm definitely, I would definitely look into, you know, if I were to be so lucky to hooking up with one of the independent labels. They're making great music, and they're making really great music that people are really loving, and they're using their own channels of distribution and touring and making these fantastic festivals all over the world, and definitely I want to be part of that scene.
Cool. All right, let's listen to another track. Should we listen to the other track from this CD or from your other CD, or what would you like?
Yeah, go ahead and play that one. It's okay. Just acoustic, but that's okay, right?
Yeah, totally. I think we're on track 3, I think. Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Don't forget to check out myspace.com/Laura Martin Music. We'll be right back.
Then a little kid said, come and rescue me. How would it happen? Time would dawn me on this dead end street. Yeah, I'm dying from a bad disease. No one cares. No one cares. No one cares. No one believes. So in love before, or is that what we sold before the winter came and turned pass, and no one cares, no one cares, and no one believes.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Laura Martin. Is the MySpace page the best place to get most up-to-date information on what you're doing?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I have a website, but I definitely use MySpace. It's a better source of communication for me.
It's easier to update things, huh?
Yeah, totally.
So that's myspace.com/Laura Martin Music.
Yeah.
And you went for a while just using the name Martin.
Yeah, the last EP I did was just Martin. And I guess I just changed my mind about that.
That felt sort of like an alias for you, huh?
Yeah, it did. Which was fine. And it is my surname, but I think I'm fine with Laura Martin. It works for me. It's cool. Worked for me for this long.
Now, we were talking a little bit before about, doing different things with your music and licensing. And, another thing that a lot of indie artists have been doing lately with all these great festivals and everything is, using their music in support of some cause or something like that.
Right.
We were chatting a little bit before the show about something that you recently got involved in. Tell me a little bit about it.
A friend of mine, actually two friends of mine, Abby Kincaid and Erica Rose, who was on your show a couple months back, we were in Albuquerque and we came up with a nonprofit idea for an organization, and it's called iHeart, the Indie Rock Outreach. We're actually starting today with our first official bit of fundraising planning, and we're putting together a 40-style pinup calendar with some local female indie artists. It's really exciting. We got our first photo shoot today. We have some really amazing, amazing girls. Janine Zapata, Lissy, Miko, just some really great. It's Charlotte Martin. And so all the proceeds from that, from our sales, along with a compilation CD, will be going to the Battered Woman's Shelter, which specifically will be the OPCC Sojourn in Santa Monica. And also we're going to throw in a scholarship for one student to attend the Silver Lake Music Conservatory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have a launch party in late November or December, and hopefully you'll hear about it, and I'll make sure you come on down and check it out. It should be a really... We have some amazing people on board. We got a photographer right off the bat who's absolutely fantastic. That's at myspace.com/iHeartIndieRock. So you can check that out, too. You can see all the girls and some of the people involved are just really amazing. We got Larson Mastering, and just it's been, for a project that would seem like it's a great deal of work, it seemed like nothing but progress and fun. So I'm excited to get out there now to the photo shoot and, and hang out with the girls and do 40s pinup. It's
awesome.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's great that there's so many different people are involved and really interested and motivated in doing this thing, and they're not just like doing a lot of these organizations. It starts with one person's great idea, and they get everybody else to do them a favor, and then it becomes this
right.
sort of
that's kind of
bummer.
The exciting thing. LA can, I'm sure as you know, can be a pretty competitive scene, and we're all singer songwriters, and you hear about all these girls, but we don't necessarily, you don't know them, you don't become friends with them, and it's not like we're cutthroat or anything. But I think it's going to be really exciting and fun to have us all together working for women, with women, and it's mm-hmm. just it's pretty exciting. It's just exciting day.
Well, I'll let you get to that if you can give me one more song, and I'll set you free.
Excellent.
What do you got?
I have a song called Wish.
All right. Whenever you're ready. My guest is Laura Martin. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Thanks, John.
I hope these flowers don't die. I hope the stars stay in the sky just as long as you and me. I hope the milk stays good. I wish that hoping could make everything okay. Well, I propose we raise a toast and wish for what we want the most. I wish our pain away. You could wish my my hair was long, or that I write that hit song, then we'd be happy. I could wish you were less like your dad, the way he always seemed so mad at everything.
My guest has been Laura Martin. Laura, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, John.
Everybody check out myspace.com/Laura Martin Music. Go see her perform at Crane's Tavern on September 12th, as well as Hotel Cafe on September 23rd. And what was the MySpace again for the
organization? The iHeart Project is myspace.com/iHeartIndieRock.
Awesome. There it is, folks. This episode will be available for download later today from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com, as well as a podcast on iTunes. So drop by to check that out. Thanks again, Laura.
Thank you.